Good morning. Let's turn our Bibles to Proverbs 27, chapter 27, verse 7. Proverbs. Proverbs 27, 7. The NASB version says this: a sated man loathes honey, but to a famished man, any bitter thing is sweet. And the NIV version says, one who is full loathes honey from the comb, but to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that we can come before you and just be in your presence and meet with you and just pray to you. And we want to come and just hear from you, God, and worship you. Thank you that we can be in the presence of other believers, and we give this time to you. Please come and speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so this verse today says, one who is full loads honey from the comb, but to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet. So I think there's at least four ways to look at this passage. And the first one, obviously, it's the physical sense of the word, right? If one person is full, if he has eaten even something that is very, very delicious and very, very good, like honey from the comb, that's not going to be something that is desirable because that person is full. So that's just the physical sense of this verse. One who is full loads honey from the comb, but to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet. If you're hungry, you can eat anything and you will eat everything. In Korea, there's a saying that hunger is the dish or the flavor, you know? So if you're hungry, you just give the person a bowl of rice and he's going to eat it. And it's going to be delicious. It's going to be flavorful because your hunger is the flavor. So that's just the physical sense of the word. But that's the first one. But we're going to look at the spiritual sense of this passage, right? So I don't think this passage is here just to let us know something that happens in the physical, but also to give us insight into the spiritual nature of human beings. So the first way that we can look at this in the spiritual sense is that if you're too full with the earthly things of this world, let's say your soul is kind of full from TV and movies and different things that you're doing, you're not going to be very hungry for the Lord. You know, you're not going to turn to God. You're not going to find the need to go to God, you know? There's a famous C.S. Lewis quote. He says, he's a great Christian writer in the past, and he says that with God, in our relationship with God, we've been given a holiday at the beach. The relationship with God that we have with God is like a holiday at the beach. And yet, so often, Christians will settle for playing with mud on the street rather than going for the holiday at the beach. Meaning, we have this great relationship with God, this great thing that we can have when we go into the presence of God, but we settle for this mud by the street that we play with, and meaning we don't go to God, we go to all the earthly things of this world to find satisfaction. And because we're busy playing with the mud, we don't realize that there is a beach holiday that has been offered to us. So when we fill ourselves with the earthly things of this world, you know, when we fill ourselves with TV and movies and the internet and entertainment, hanging out, whatever it is, those are good things. But if we fill ourselves with that, we're going to be so full that we're not even going to realize that we're hungry. And when honey from the comb is offered from the Lord, we say, you know what, I'm okay. I'm full already. I'm distracted already. You know, P. Sam does this great illustration. Sometimes if you do his class EG or GIC, he will tell a person, let's say Annette, right? He'll say, Annette, I'm going to say something to you, but he says, everybody else make a lot of noise. So everybody else is making a lot of noise in the room. If you've been in SP, you might have done this. Everybody's making a lot of noise, and then he'll say something to Annette from a distance, but he'll whisper it, whatever. He'll usually say, you're a beautiful woman of God, something like that, right? And then everybody's making noise so people can hear. So Annette can't hear. So, and then people will quiet down a piece and I'll say, hey, did you hear what I said? And she'll say, no. Then same thing. Everybody make a lot of noise. And then this time he will go up to Annette and whisper into her ear, you're a beautiful woman of God. And obviously Annette is able to hear. And the whole illustration, the point is that to hear from the Lord, you need to have intimacy because there's a lot of noise in this world. But see, I took that illustration and I modified it for our youth group kids. And this is what I did. I had everybody make a lot of noise. And then I said to one of the girls, you're a beautiful woman of God. But same thing, from a distance, whispered it, a lot of noise. And I asked her, did you hear what I said? She said, no. The second time, I told everybody to be super quiet. And then I whispered it to her. And obviously, she was able to hear what I was saying. And my point was that you guys are, there's too much distraction and noise in your life. I mean, these kids are watching a bunch of different TV shows on Facebook all the time. You know, just doing a lot of things, distracting themselves. There's so much noise going on. I'm saying, how are you going to be able to hear from God with all this noise that is going on around you, with all these different inputs and entertainments, media stuff going around you? You're not going to be able to hear from the Lord. And same thing here. If we're going to really be hungry for the Lord, sometimes we have to turn away from things. And that's why, you know, we do fasting at times, right? We go through seasons of fasting. We give up food. We give up media. We give up different things. So that hunger, that longing for something is not so easily met by this physical thing, but that longing for some kind of satisfaction will actually draw us to God. So that's the first sense of the spiritual sense of the word, of this passage. One who is full loads honey from the comb. If you're so full from the things of this world, you're going to hate even the honey that comes from God. But to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet. And the second meaning, the second way we can apply this, I think, is just kind of flip the first idea around, saying, if you are full from the things of God, if you are full on the things of God, if you're full of the things of God, you're going to be able to say no to these different temptations and distractions that come your way. So if you are full from the things of God, you're going to loathe honey from the comb. Even what looks so pleasurable and what looks so delicious and so enticing that the world offers, we're going to be able to say, oh, I don't need it. You're going to be able to loathe it, you know, because you are full already. But if you're hungry, if you're not full on the things of God, if you're running on empty, then yeah, any bitter thing that this world offers, we're going to turn to that. We're going to be like, oh, I need this thing. You know, I need, it's the same kind of idea as the first one, but it's a different way of looking at it. So if we're running on empty, we're not close to God, we feel unsatisfied all the time, then we will more easily fall into temptation and distraction. Suddenly TV shows look so attractive, you know? You're like, oh, I must watch this TV show. Like, I'm so addicted to it, you know? And if you think about it, really, do you really need to watch this TV show? But it looks so attractive because we're not full on the things of God. Maybe a night out drinking with people sounds so fun. You're like, oh, all of a sudden, you're like, oh, I need to do this. I must engage in this act. Maybe it will, you know, lead to even worse things like lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, you know. Lust of the flesh is, you know, just sexual lust things. Lust of the eyes, I think, is saying things like materialism, you know, shopping, things like that. It's what Trish Donaldson on Sunday, our guest speaker, she talked about this on Sunday. She said, you know, how she was used to always go to the Lord and pray for 12 years and 5 years on different things, and then she got tired of it. So she said, okay, I'm just going to take a break. I'm going to watch TV. I'm going to watch some movies. I'm going to do my own thing. But the more she engaged in it and the further she kind of got from the Lord, the less full she became on the Lord, the easier it became to go to TV, go to movies, and go to different media things to fill herself. So the more we stop spending time with God, the more it's going to become more addicting to turn to TVs and movies and videos and different things until you realize I'm so empty. You know, it happens to me all the time. You know, the more I choose to spend time with the Lord and go before God and hear from the Lord, the more I'm drawn to that, and the easier it becomes to go to the Lord. But the more I turn to TV, the more I turn to movies and different things, YouTube videos is probably one of the biggest distractions for us now. The more I turn to these things, the more I'm drawn to that, and I have to really like make a decision to repent and turn away. We often do this. We look for satisfaction in all the wrong places. And what we need to do sometimes is to stop and pause and say, I'm going to look to God. Isaiah will say to Israelites, why do you buy milk and why do you buy wine and drink wine that will not satisfy? And God says, come to me and drink. That is something, I'm going to give it to you. It's free of charge and it's going to satisfy you. Why do you turn to these other things that will not satisfy? So I think we need to repent. You know, I had to really repent on Monday because I hadn't really spent a lot of time with God. And the more I just do things, the more I hang out with my fiance instead of spending time with God, the easier that's going to become. And not that that's a good thing. It's a good thing. But I'm still, it's not going to satisfy me. It's not going to fulfill all my needs. And it's just going to lead to bad things. The more I rely on fiance, the more I rely on material things, the more I rely on TV, movies, and I look for satisfaction in that, it's just going to lead to worse things. Third spiritual application, the last one is this, is it's just a different sense. The first two is very similar. We either get full on God or we get full on the things of this world, and one or the other is going to take priority in our lives. The third application that I want us to consider is in this verse. It's Proverbs 27:7. One who is full loads honey from the comb, but to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet. Sometimes in our Christian walk, we can grow spiritually fat. What I mean is we can become spiritually spoiled. And I'm guilty of it. I think SP, often, we're a little bit guilty of this because we're quite spoiled with all these awesome speakers and conferences that happen in our church. Not just SP, but Hong Kong in general, because China is the next big thing, right? And economically, it's the next big thing. Spiritually, China is the next big thing. And everyone's talking about China. Everyone wants to come to China. And Hong Kong is the gateway to China. So everybody comes from Hong Kong. We have Chris Vallotton, John Paul Jackson, all these big names that you can think of in this Christian circle. Tim Keller, you know, everybody comes to Hong Kong, right? And so we get quite spiritually full, but it's not in a good way. We just become kind of spiritually spoiled and we start dismissing people. You know, we say, oh, that speaker? Oh, Chris Vallotton's coming in a few, oh, whatever. I think I've read his books, I've heard the sermons, and I'm okay. You know, and I mean, not that you have to go to all the conferences, but just the attitude that we have sometimes is quite spoiled. And we kind of say, you know what, I've been there, I've done that. And there's, I like this term, familiarity, what is it? Familiarity breeds contempt. Familiarity breeds contempt. Sometimes we just become familiar with these things, with these speakers. And then we're like, yeah, whatever. I've heard him before. I've heard that before. I've done inner healing here. I've done inner healing there. I don't need to go through Cascade. I don't need to do this. I don't need to do that. And we grow this attitude of spiritual pride in a negative way. And then when we hear speakers, our attitude is, oh, man, that speaker is boring. I don't want to bother with him. That speaker, I said this thing wrong. We just become critical. This thing was wrong. That was theologically funny. And that thing, I don't know about that. And he kind of does this weird thing when he prays for people. I don't know. I'm not going to get into that. And we have this attitude. We criticize here, criticize there. But what this is saying is, man, if you are hungry, you're just going to receive. If you are hungry, before the Lord, then whoever comes up and speaks on Sunday, whoever comes to conferences or retreats, you're just going to receive. Instead of sitting there writing down notes on, I don't agree with this, and I don't agree with that, and that was wrong, and that was funny, I don't know about this. P. Sam, how can you bring this guy? Blah, blah, blah. I mean, instead of doing something like that, maybe that was a little personal. Maybe instead of doing something like that, we're going to just receive. We're going to be like, oh, yeah, sure, some things I don't agree with, but I'm hungry for the things of the Lord, and whatever is offered, I'm just going to receive. And, you know, we see this with new believers. They're just so hungry. They're just so happy. They're so blessed to be at church. Sometimes, I mean, for me, I'll say something up on, I'll preach a message, and I feel like, man, that was nothing. You just feel like you don't have anything. But some of the newer believers will come to you and say, oh, that was so awesome. You know, I got so much out of it. And you're like, really? But that's it's not me, it's them. They're just hungry for the things of the Lord. So they're like, whatever is given at the pulpit, they just receive. And they love it, you know? And the thing with God is there's always more. I don't think we can ever have this attitude of spiritual pride and fullness. Like, oh, I don't need any more kind of thing. But we often do that. We're like, oh, I've been to that conference. I've been to that. But I think if we had a right attitude, we'll always find something. You know, the Lord will always speak to us at church. And it's not necessarily the speaker. It's the Lord that will speak to us at church. But, I mean, I'm not advocating for speakers to be poorly prepared. But I'm just talking about our attitude as listeners and our attitude as the congregation. So there's an example of this in Matthew 15. So I want us to turn there, and then we'll go into our prayer time. Matthew 15, 21 through 28. It's the faith of the Canaanite woman. Matthew 15, 21 to 28. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman came from that vicinity. Oh no, from that vicinity came to him, crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Yes, it is, Lord, she said. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. So she's a Gentile woman. She's not an Israelite woman. Canaanite woman comes before the Lord because she is desperate for her daughter to be healed. And Jesus, shockingly, tells her, I wasn't sent for you guys. I'm only here for the lost sheep of Israel. And then she doesn't budge. She's like, please do something. Lord, help me. And then he goes further and he says, it's wrong for me to give the bread that for children and toss it to the dogs. Basically, he's saying, you Gentiles, you guys are the dogs. I'm here to give children's bread to the Israelites. I mean, think about it. If that was you, let's say you come to church and the speaker is like, you're just dogs. I'm here to give message for whatever, but I don't even know why I'm here. I hate you guys, but here's a message anyway. We're gonna be like, who is this guy? I don't need to hear this. I don't need to be here. I don't need this kind of attitude. We're just immediately our pride will say, forget this guy. It's the same thing with Naaman from the Bible, right? He's suffering from leprosy. He goes to the prophet. I think it's Elisha, and he says, I don't have time. I mean, he doesn't say I don't have time, but he just sends his servant and says, just go wash in the river Jordan. Is it Jordan? It's in a river in Israel. And Naaman's like, so offended. He's like, I thought the prophet was going to come pray for me. Like, he's so offended that Elisha wouldn't come. I mean, if anything, she should have been more offended. Are you, you call me a dog? Like, forget it then. But she is desperate enough. She's hungry enough. And so she just says, that's fine. You can call me a dog. Even the dogs eat crumbs off the master's table. And you see this attitude of hunger, desperation. And she's like, that's fine. I'm okay with that. I just need your power. I just need you to do something. And that's humble receptivity to what God is doing. And I think we can cultivate that. Instead of this spiritual pride, spiritual fullness that keeps us from really getting the things of God, let's have humble receptivity to what God is doing, no matter the speaker. Let's just be humble, let's receive, and God will speak to us. Revelation 3:17, at the church of Laodicea, he says, God, Jesus says, you say you're rich, you know, you think you're wealthy and well-to-do, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. What if that's said of us? You think you're spiritually full. You think you're doing well, but you are actually pitiful and blind, and you need God. You're desperate. But we don't realize it because we're familiar with the things of church. We're familiar with the things of God, yet we're not really grasping it. So, you know, let's have this humility before God. Let's repent. A few things. Let's repent for giving ourselves so easily just to kind of the things of this world and not coming and spending time before God. Quiet time. I mean, that's the foundation of our faith. So let's get our quiet times right and let's go before the Lord. I know it's so hard. Hong Kong is a very, very busy place. So let's repent before the Lord for not spending time with Him. But instead of just giving ourselves away to different things. And then also let's repent if you identify with this kind of spiritual pride, this attitude of spiritual pride. Let's repent of that and go before the Lord humbly. And Jeff's going to come and lead us in a time of worship. So Holy Spirit, I thank you. I want to repent for myself and in behalf of our church, God, and that we so easily can be distracted. And I thank you, God, that you're not so harsh on us, God, that when we do this, you're not sitting there just so angry, but you're just waiting for us to return, and it's not a big deal, God, but we want to put those things aside, and we want to come before you. We want to spend time with you because we know that it is so good to be in your presence, God. It is so good to get into your word, to hear from you, to get a word from you. So help us to see that it is so pleasing, you know, to be in your presence. In your presence is fullness of joy. And then also, God, if we have had this spiritual fullness or this idea that we were spiritually full and we kind of grew, had contempt for different speakers or different things that we're doing at church and we just had that attitude, we want to also repent of that and we want to come before you with humble receptivity to whatever you say, to whatever you do. So thank you. God, take us deeper. Thank you, Lord. Myself of all that you've done.
Son. Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours. I am forever yours. Mountain high or valley low, I sing out and remind my soul, I am yours. I am forever yours. When my heart is filled with hope and every promise comes my way, of grace rest upon me, staying desperate for you, God, standing humbled at your feet, I will lift these hands and praise, I will believe. I remind myself of all that you've done, of your Son. Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours. I am forever yours. Mountain high or valley low, I sing out and remind my soul, I am yours, I am forever yours. I am yours, I am yours. Oh, my days, Jesus, I am yours. I am yours, I am yours.
Thank you, God. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your word. Thank you for that song, your reminder, God. We love you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Let's turn to our community prayer focus. Let's just lift up our church members and family members that are going through cancer, chemo, and needing a transplant. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for God's breakthrough. Let's pray for God's presence in their lives to help them and encourage them and comfort them in this time. So let's lift them up together. Let's go to the second slide. Let's pray for our friends going through various illnesses, but also in need of salvation. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for a miracle. And let's also pray that we would have opportunities to actually share the gospel with them, for divine opportunities, appointments, and for anointing and courage when we do. So let's pray together for the people on this list. Go to the third slide. Let's pray for various infirmities that our church members and family members are going through. Let's lift them up. Pray for healing and comfort and strength in this time. Let's go to our fourth slide. Let's pray for breakthrough in looking for a job. Let's pray for favor with companies and interviews and guidance and direction, and for faith to be strong in this time. So let's lift up our friends on the list and for their families. So let's pray together. Go to our Wednesday prayer focus. Let's pray for Cambodia. Let's pray for Grace and Ashley and Bloom, Pastor O and Pastor Tang, New Life Church. So let's pray for Cambodia. The elections are going on. I think it's this weekend. And it's kind of crazy politically there. When the elections are there, there's a lot of kind of, there's an opposition party, and it could be a dangerous time physically. So let's pray for protection. These guys have to prepare an emergency pack in case they need to run to the embassy, you know? So it's quite a dangerous time, so let's pray for safety for them. But also spiritually, as things are kind of chaotic physically, they're experiencing a lot of attack, especially at Bloom, spiritually. So let's just pray for God's protection, and let's pray for God's joy to be over, you know, Grace and Ashley and the Bloom staff. And yeah, let's pray for God's covering, so let's pray together. Thank you. let's also lift up the worship team conference that's coming to that's going to Cambodia in the beginning of August. Let's pray for that. And let's also lift up the Indonesia trip. They're leaving today. So that's Pastor Eugene and Pastor Salamat and a few of our church members are going on that trip. So let's pray for God's covering for them. Let's pray for God's anointing for both teams, protection over both teams, and fruitfulness for both teams. And if you can pray for Pastor Eugene's family, you know, Pastor Carol was a little bit sick yesterday. She's okay now, but if you can continue to pray that that God will be with P. Carol and Elijah as P. Eugene's going to be away. So let's just cover these families and these two trips coming up. Pray for the board. The names are on the list. Let's just lift them up. Let's pray that they fall deeper in love with God and that they hear from the Lord very clearly about the things, about decisions for the church. And let's pray for God's protection and covering. Let's pray for favor in their workplaces and that they would have so much joy in their personal lives. Let's pray for breakthrough and just in their personal lives, the things that they're trying to do and longing for and stuff like that. So let's lift up the board. Let's pray together. Pray for men and women's ministries. Let's just pray for God's guidance over the leaders. And after the retreats, as they are trying to think of different ways to take it to the next level, let's just pray for guidance and for God to speak to the leaders and for the church members to get involved, and that it would create a culture, you know, where men really stand together, women really stand together. So let's pray for the men and women's ministries. Let's pray for SP's 2.0, the new building, and the donor. We're just responding to a prophetic word, so let's pray for that donor. Maybe it'll be multiple donors. Let's just pray for God's breakthrough in this, but not just for financial provision and physical building provision, but let's pray that our church would be ready for this next step where God wants to take us to a bigger church, bigger influence, and maybe we'll be able to reach out more. So let's just pray that our church would be ready for this move and that God would lead us in His time to this new place and that donors would come. So let's pray together for that. Let's pray for summer Bible study tonight. Let's just pray that it'll be an incredible time of getting into the Word and learning and hearing from God. Let's pray for everybody to come with open hearts, and that it'll be just a really beneficial time. So let's pray together. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your word, and thank you for your constant just encouragement over us, God. And we want to say that we are so grateful for who you are, and so grateful for your love. And help us to spend time with you and get into your presence and to get full on the things of you, God, today. And help us to remember you throughout our day today. I thank you for your presence with us. I pray that you go with each and every person here, wherever we go, that we would walk with you, that you will lead us and guide us and help us to bring joy to your heart today in some way. And we love you, God. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.